transfigured on the mount, O Christ our God.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Be Transfigured, where we invite you to live a new life in Christ. We pray that this episode is a blessing to you and will inspire you to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. Join us for worship or Bible study at the Transfiguration of Our Savior Greek Orthodox Church in Florence, South Carolina, where visitors are always welcome. We'll be back in a few moments to share some more information about our ministry.
I don't know if this happens to you, but I have to admit it happens to me more often than I would like. I'm in the middle of a conversation with someone, and I realized we are using the same words, but we mean two totally different things. I don't know if that's ever happened to anybody, but it happens to me more often than I would like. Especially when we're talking about things about the church. And many times people ask me why I am so insistent about discussing the importance of the very words that we use as Orthodox Christians. And some people will sometimes say, isn't it just important that we believe in Jesus Christ? Doesn't that make us all the same? Well, it doesn't make us all the same. And we understand that intuitively. We're not all the same Christians. As I've said before, as of 2012, 43,000 denominations of Christianity in the world, and that was 4 years ago. Who knows how many more thousands have come up since then? But we'll use that number, 43,000 denominations of Christianity, all using the same words about Jesus, but not all meaning the same thing. And one of those expressions, very popular in the South, is the term saved. I just had a conversation last night. This wonderful woman, very excited about her faith in Jesus Christ. She was on fire for the faith, you could tell in her soul, in her heart. And she used the expression, and then when I was saved, my entire life changed. And I thought to myself, wonderful. I even said, thank God, we're looking forward to a wonderful relationship. She had shared some things with me. And in my mind, I said, oh, I'm preaching about that tomorrow. I'll have to remember this story. So here's this woman. When I was saved, and I'm sure many of you, especially living here in the South, have had the question asked to you, are you saved? Well, I like to say, I hope so. But that's really not the whole picture. Because we as Orthodox Christians do not look at our salvation as a once-in-a-lifetime moment. For us, the expression, are you saved, is not applicable to what we believe as Orthodox Christians. The best answer we could give to the question, are you saved, is I was saved, I am saved, and I am still being saved. You see, because for us as Orthodox Christians, our salvation is a process of life. Our salvation is not something we can pinpoint at one exact moment in time in history on February 17th, 1976, at 3:15 in the afternoon, I accepted our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as my King and Master, and therefore that was the moment I was saved. We don't do that in the Orthodox Church. We have a different understanding of salvation. We use the same words, but we don't mean the same thing. And that's what I want to share just a little bit with you this morning, because this morning's gospel ends with the words from Christ, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." So what is this important thing that we talk about, saved? Well, we have to understand that when Christ came into the world, he came for one purpose and one purpose only: to restore our original purpose to our fallen humanity. When God originally created humanity way back when, he created us with the potential to live forever with him and never die. The potential to be in his likeness, to live in his divinity. But our ancestors broke that purpose, and in their disobedience, they ushered in the fallen human world. As God said in Genesis, you can do anything you want in the garden. You see that tree? Just don't eat that tree, for the very day that you eat that tree, you will die by death. We know that story. But from the moment that Adam and Eve ate the apple, my brothers and sisters, God promised that he would save us. He immediately turned to the serpent and condemned the serpent and promised that he would put enmity, he says, between you and the woman and between the woman's seed and your seed. From the moment Adam and Eve disobeyed God, he promised to save us from the clutches of the devil. And when he came 2,000 years ago and took on our humanity, became one of us, although still being God, at that time, through his birth, his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection from the dead, he saved us from death. That's the part when we say we were saved. Our Lord and Savior has saved every single human being from death. Death no longer has any dominion over us. We all, whether we believe in Jesus Christ or not, we will all live forever. So in that sense, we have all been saved. But there's more. In the very next verse in the gospel, our Lord says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. These wonderful words by St. John the theologian. He who does not believe is already condemned. It doesn't mean that they won't come back to life. It doesn't mean that they have not been saved from death. It means that if we do not believe in Jesus Christ, even though we were saved from death, we will not be saved from eternal torment. And this gets us into the understanding that we as Orthodox say, I am saved and I am still being saved. That as I join myself to Jesus Christ in my baptism and in my daily living as a Christian, I am saved every morning I wake up. I am saved in the sense that I am living like I really believe in Jesus Christ. But my brothers and sisters, intellectual belief is not enough. Because do you know who believes in Jesus Christ absolutely without a doubt, but will never be saved, is the devil. So it is not enough for us to say that we believe in Jesus Christ and therefore we have been saved. Our belief in Jesus Christ is why we're here this morning. Because from this moment until the time that our soul leaves our body, and we don't know when that's going to be, Our part in this relationship with Jesus Christ is that we live the faith that we say we believe. And that's the I am being saved part. Because God is going to come back in the future and judge our life. There is judgment. Yes, there is judgment coming. The judgment is not necessarily going to be some kind of checklist, you know, like God going through with a clipboard. Up, I'm sorry, wrong side. The judgment is going to be, is our life really a manifestation of our belief in God? Or do we simply say we believe, but we go through life really not believing? And this is where I want to rest for just a moment, because this is where we are incredibly different in our understanding of salvation from the Protestant church especially. The Protestant church has an expression, once saved, always saved. And that's part of that one time and moment. But we do not believe that as Orthodox Christians. And St. Paul helps us understand why we don't believe this. In the book of Romans, St. Paul is warning the Christians. He says, look, you are wild. You were grafted into the olive tree. Remember, the Gentiles were not part of the original people of God. There were the Jews and there were the Gentiles. And St. Paul is having this conversation with the Gentile Christians about the Jews who had been cut off from the tree. Remember, all the imagery that Christ would say, that the disobedient would be cut off and Israel would be, the kingdom would be taken away from Israel and given to the Gentiles. We know that story. And St. Paul wants us to know as Gentiles that if those who were already on the tree will say in their natural setting, they were born in the tree, the people of God, Israel. If they were cut off from the tree because of their disobedience and we were grafted in as the foreigners, St. Paul warns us in Romans, don't think we too cannot be cut off from the tree. If God is willing to separate Israel from the kingdom, Israel with whom God had the original promise, if He's willing in their disobedience to remove them from the kingdom, we too are at risk, my brothers and sisters. There is no such thing as once saved, always saved. And yet there's hope. Here is the actual words from St. Paul. He says, you will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into the cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? We have to live knowing that our salvation is not a guaranteed story. Yes, we have been saved from death. But we are still in the process of being saved. as we live our relationship with Jesus Christ. It can be taken away from us. And this is why the church has this way of life that we call Orthodox Christianity. The way of life that the apostles gave us from the very first days, a life of prayer and fasting and the sacraments of the church, reading the scriptures, reading the holy fathers, evangelism, going and spreading the good news of salvation to the entire human race. This way of life, my brothers and sisters, that the church has isn't simply to control us. The way of life of the church is to help us hold on to our salvation. One of the contemporary struggles that we have, especially living here as minorities, as it were, as Orthodox Christian minorities in America, one of the struggles that we have is that the church publishes a schedule of services. Every Sunday, most Wednesday evenings we have services, for example, and we find ourselves continually forced to make a choice. Am I going to go to Paraklesis Wednesday night, or am I going to sit and enjoy time with my family or my friends? Am I going to go to a birthday party? Am I going to go here? We are constantly faced with a choice. Do I spend time with God in church, or do I spend time doing my own thing? Whatever our own thing might be. And one of the constant pushbacks that I receive from parishioners is that, Father, do you have to schedule so many services? You know, we're really busy people. I wish I could schedule more. In the first days of the church, they were much busier than we are, and they were going to church every day. I don't schedule services every day. But you and I both know that 9 times out of 10, when there's services going on in the church, we're not doing something important. We're sitting at the cafeteria and we're going out for a drink with a friend. We're not doing something important. We just choose to not be in church. And I sometimes get pressure to cancel services of the church because it interferes with our community life. And that's when I think to myself, are we also going to be cut off from the tree because we're too busy? We have too many other things to come and spend some time with God and His church, to come and receive the blessings that God has to offer us in His church. Are you saved? Is the question we receive. The answer is, I hope so. I was, I am, but I am still being saved. And that last part is up to me living the life that I claim to believe. Glory to God for all things.
Be Transfigured is a production of Be Transfigured Ministries in cooperation with the Transfiguration of Our Savior Greek Orthodox Church in Florence, South Carolina. We depend upon your generosity to maintain our ministry. Contributions may be sent to Be Transfigured Ministries, P.O. Box 5030, Florence, South Carolina 29502, or on our website at www.liveanewlifeinchrist.org.